Good afternoon. You're tuned to Katie and Kay, and this is Everything Under the Sun, our weekly radio show revolving around the Sopra Sun. And I'm Raleigh Burley, joined by Ken Pletcher. Hey, Ken, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you, Raleigh?
Doing well.
Great.
Yeah, very excited to be here. What a wonderful sunny day we've got outside. And so our guest this week relates to a story that you wrote about this giant solar project that's going to happen at CMC and involves Holy Cross Energy. How was it writing that story, and what did you learn?
Well, part of what I learned was, and something we're going to ask our guest about today, was the increased use of battery storage as part of these solar arrays, which is, I think, a fairly new development, something we'll hopefully hear more about, and just more about the scope of this this project and all the other projects that Holy Cross is working on and is planning, and that's something I hope we can hear more about, too, from our guest.
Oh, well, without further ado, let's bring him on. Sam Whelan is Power Supply Manager for Holy Cross Energy. Sam, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. How long have you been working with Holy Cross Energy?
I've been working with Holy Cross coming up on 5 years now.
That's excellent. And could you describe a little bit of what your job consists of as Power Supply Manager?
Yeah, you bet. There's a wide variety, but essentially, if I were to boil it down into a couple things, one aspect is resource planning. So this is the concept of, you know, looking out and doing long-term forecasting at what our future needs of Holy Cross are from, you know, electric load standpoint, what we think, you know, the growth in the area will be, and then ultimately forecasting and planning on how do we go about, finding new energy resources that can help meet our needs. And then also, you know, making sure and keeping an eye and focused on the goals that are set for our company. So, you know, the resource planning is not just, you know, needs. It also relates to our 100 by 30 goal and how do we achieve, you know, an increase in renewable energy while maintaining safe and affordable service. So that's one aspect. And then the other aspect is related to what we call power supply operation. So that's more on the short-term side of things, hourly load and resource forecasting and kind of our operations as it relates to purchasing energy from the market and making sure that, we're keeping costs as low as we can for our members.
Thanks, Sam. I guess my first question would be just to explain a little bit more about the process for choosing the CMC site. I know you explained it to me, and there was some information in the literature out there, but just, you know, this concept called All Sources RFP and how that relates to not only this project but other projects. Is it an approach you take with others, or is it more or less unique to a certain type like this particular one at Colorado Mountain College?
Yeah, it's definitely an approach that we take for others. The RFP process is what we call a request for proposals. It's pretty standard across the industry. So I talked about one of my responsibilities being resource planning. So we go through our long-term forecasting, determine what our needs are, and then out of that, we issue an RFP saying, all right, here's what our planning has shown that we need. And it's a competitive process where developers from all over the country can, you know, work on finding land, bring the resources together in a proposal and submit that to Holy Cross. And then we review that, for a variety of different things. How does it fit in our overall energy portfolio? How does it fit in terms of the system location that's proposed? How do the economics work? Is it going to save money for our members? And then ultimately, is it, you know, feasible that this project will go forward? And is the technology something that's been proven out. Those are some of the things that we look for. Mm-hmm. So it's a standard approach. Mm-hmm. This one, you know, in particular was a little bit different. Sometimes these requests for proposals can be pretty prescriptive, where the utility says, this is exactly what I need. I need mm-hmm. X megawatts. I want it to be, you know, I need X megawatts of solar, X megawatts of batteries. In this case, we just said we want to see what is out there in the industry, and it's a good gauge for pricing and technology. So we just said it's an all-source RFP. Mm-hmm. Anything goes, we'll evaluate it. But we had an emphasis on resources that are clean and renewable, and also an increased emphasis on resources that are flexible. So mm-hmm. something that mm-hmm. doesn't just, you know, produce in one way, but something where we as a utility can manage that and you know, optimize the production of the resource.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And you had told me a little bit about how clean energy economy for the region CLEAR was involved, and it sounded like it was a really integral part of both the selection and also I think you said the actual planning of the facility.
Yeah, that, you know, that may have come out of a discussion with someone from CMC. CLEAR's role, I know, was you know, they were focused, and they definitely came alongside CMC and helped with them. Uh-huh. So they went through essentially a two-step process. So CLEAR worked with CMC and uh-huh. issued their own RFP to try to find, all right, what developer do they want to partner with?
Uh-huh.
And then ultimately that developer and CMC submitted their bid into our RFP.
Okay.
And for Holy Cross's evaluation. So, you know, it was interesting. They, you know, in that approach, just to give you a scale of it, the CMC project that was submitted and ultimately selected, that's one project. We actually received 52 bids,
wow.
just over 1,000 megawatts of nameplate resources. So it was a huge response in this, this last round, which is great for our members.
So you mentioned this goal of reaching 100% renewables by the year 2030, and with less than a decade, I wonder how much of your portfolio is already renewables, and some of the strategies that you have to convert it to 100%.
Yeah, sure. We joke internally that we need a ticking clock on all of our walls, you know, the days to left until 2030, because it's a big goal, but it's one that, you know, we're confident that we can achieve and are excited to work towards. In the past, our energy percentage is usually around 40%. I believe last year's 44% renewable energy, which is really good, you know, even as of today across the industry. So something we're proud of, but we're, you know, continuing to work forward. Based on a lot of our work that we've done from the recent goal, which was 70% clean energy by 2030, we have contracts signed and projects are underway. And I think it's looking likely that we can get into the 80% renewable realm as of today, but not as of, you know, as of the contracts that we have signed today. So within a few years, once those projects come online, we'll get up there into the 80% realm. So, you know, then after that, it gets to be a little bit more difficult of a puzzle to solve to get that last, you know, 15 to 20% renewable content.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an exciting opportunity.
Yes. Can you talk more about battery storage and how important that is becoming for the whole process of using renewables? I know that's something I've looked into on another story as well, but this one is on a much larger scale, and it sounds like it's becoming more common.
Yeah, it is becoming more common. You know, with battery prices, we're seeing them start to come down just with technology improvements and more projects coming online. You know, it's similar to what you saw with solar, where you know, prices even just 10 years ago were very high. And now in today's today's market, you can get solar prices that are, you know, below the cost of gas and coal even at times, and really competitive. So it's an exciting time. We're seeing storage costs come down. I think that's one of the reasons you see more projects moving forward. But like I said, you know, as we get to 80% and above renewable content, the puzzle gets more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons for that is what we call renewable oversupply. That's essentially when we have too much energy being produced from wind and solar, and not enough electricity is being used at the same time. And so, you know, that happens, like, you know, think about in the daytime, the sun producing, all the solar panels are producing, and you know, for the most part, people aren't using electricity. So that comes at a cost. Ultimately, you know, we have to, a lot of times you have to do what's called curtailing the plant and shut them down, and that's a wasted energy and comes at a cost. So battery storage will increasingly play an important role related to that concept of renewable oversupply, where instead of just having wasted energy, you can shift that energy into the storage, and then the storage can be utilized during the evening hours when the sun's not shining, but when electricity use goes up.
Right.
So, you know, that's one of the part of the puzzle for, I think, why storage is getting more compelling. And then the other is storage for us is you know, we're moving towards that just from a cost standpoint. The ability to dispatch the storage and use the storage at times when we see the highest price spikes, that's something that just makes good sense for our members and helps to save money.
How is it? Did you come up with the for this, the CMC project, or a 5 megawatts of storage, and which would be 15 megawatt hours? Is there is that just because of the capacity of the installation itself, the solar panels, or is there another reason? Is it something you could, in down the future, add more storage capacity, or is there kind of a break even point somehow?
Yeah, so, you know, there, like I said, in this RFP, we weren't prescriptive, so we didn't necessarily say, hey, this is how it has to be. So some of that is just, you know, submitted by the developers based on what they see as standard in the industry. You know, in terms of sizing, sometimes the sizing is done to make sure that you can utilize tax credits from the solar. You don't want to waste that energy and not have enough storage. Or if the storage is too big, then you know, there's not enough sun to recharge that for the next time you need it. So that's one of the reasons for the sizing.
Okay.
We see a variety of different durations. So, you know, you think about, it's 5 megawatt storage, 15 megawatt hours. So we call that a 3-hour duration storage. And there's a variety of different ones. But, you know, for this project, that seemed like the sweet spot in terms of us being able to keep costs on the project low and having enough energy to make sure that we can dispatch it effectively and save on costs.
And what's the lifespan for a project like this, the solar panels that will be installed over by CMC?
You know, lifespan, there's a few different things that go into that, because there's different lifespans between, you know, the actual panels and then the inverters that are associated with the project. So I'd say typically, you know, in the RFP, our approach was to go for projects that were around 15-year agreements. It's likely that the lifespans can be extended beyond that. But I think that's a fairly good spot in terms of what we've seen in industry, is, you know, around 15 years for an agreement. And then at that point, you make a decision, okay, do we go through, do a little more work and kind of revamp the panels and inverters and keep the project going.
And given where technology will be in 15 years, who knows?
Exactly. Even 15 years is a long time. But you never know. Technology could be, you know, significantly better in 15 years, that it makes sense to go ahead and, you know, upgrade some of the equipment.
I'm curious to know a little bit more about the history of Holy Cross Energy as a energy cooperative, whether that's a common model throughout the country, and the area that Holy Cross serves here in Colorado?
Yeah, you know, it is a common model. There's over 900 cooperatives around the country, and I believe just under 30 cooperatives within the state of Colorado. So it's a common model. Holy Cross was founded in 1939, and that was largely by ranchers and farmers. We serve from Vail up to Aspen, and then also west along the I-70 corridor down to the Parachute area. And so, you know, really the concept of cooperatives it is an important model. Like I said, they were founded by ranchers and farmers, and a lot of times investor-owned utilities, which are the, you know, bigger for-profit utilities, they weren't willing, you know, back in the day to expand to the rural places in the state of Colorado because it's difficult to make money. You know, their focus would start with kind of the highly populated areas. But that kind of left the farmers and ranchers that needed electricity without many options. So the cooperative model was developed where, you know, members locally would partner together, form the cooperative. And then our focus is not on making a profit. It's really, you know, we serve the members that use the electricity, and the members that use our electricity are actually our owners. So, you know, ultimately we have electricity rates and, you know, members get bills, but that's the importance of that is just to maintain our financial position, make sure that we can do the business we do, make sure we can provide safe and reliable, sustainable energy. And so it's an exciting model, in my opinion. So ultimately, you know, how this kind of rounds out is if we make a profit in the year, which we have to just to meet our financial covenants and make sure that we're running a good business, that profit is utilized for upgrades and what we need for operating and improvements. And then ultimately the profit, though, is paid back to our members. So a lot of Holy Cross members, if they've been here for a while, they see the checks that come in the mail, and those are the profits that were assigned to them from years prior.
Hmm. I think one of the things that you and I talked about last week was that Holy Cross wants to generate more power locally, such as this project and some of the other newer ones and the one up at McLean Flats. Is there kind of a general push toward that? Are you looking at other projects that will meet that objective?
Yeah, we are. This last round of RFP was really focused on local projects. There's a variety of approaches when I talk about resource planning. There's a variety of approaches that we take to accomplish our clean energy goals. You know, we can cite resources on the bulk system, which an example of that would be our Ariba wind farm that we've contracted with. You know, bulk system resources, ultimately, they provide low-cost energy, and they utilize transmission system to, you know, go longer distances. So that's one option, and that's one that we've definitely utilized and have contracts in place for. But another option is siting resources like the ones we're talking about on our distribution system. Those are utility-scale resources, what we would call them, like the CMC project. You know, one of the benefits to those is they're big enough where you can get economies of scale so that the projects make sense and you can save money for our members by doing them. But the advantage is they're local, and that you know, being local provides a couple benefits. One, it provides resilience and future options for resilience as well. If there's a power grid failure on the, you know, bulk or transmission side, then we have local generating capability, and that's important. And then two, there's just a few contractual reasons where those projects help Holy Cross members out economically, where we're able to save some money by siting them on our system. And then I guess just as a side note, one of the things that our power supply team focuses on as well as a third category of resources, and that is at, you know, essentially the home level.
Mm-hmm.
So those would be resources like rooftop solar, batteries in home, and then things like demand response, like our peak time payback program, where instead of, you know, using a battery or using a natural gas plant to meet electric load, we ask our members, hey, can you reduce for these hours? It's expensive, and we'll pay you to do that. So, you know, those three approaches are widely used. We don't really look at one as a singular approach to accomplishing our goals, but this CMC project and the other projects that came out of the RFP are an important role in our planning process.
There was mention in Ken's article of a wind farm that will be helping you towards that renewable energy goal. Could you explain a little bit more of that project?
Yeah, sure. It's called the Reba Wind Farm. It's a 100 megawatt project on the Eastern Plains. That project is an exciting one. It will, really, it's low cost and economical. It makes a lot of sense. And work is underway on that. And ultimately, once it comes online, it will provide about 30% of our annual energy needs,
wow,
which is a really great, a great thing for us. So.
And that'll belong solely to Holy Cross Energy, or is it for other cooperatives as well?
That one, the 100 megawatt size, will be contracted just specifically for Holy Cross.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, what is the status of the McLean Flats project? Is that underway yet, or is it slated to start soon? It sounded like it from what I was hearing.
Yep. Yeah, the project's in progress. We regularly meet with the developer of that, and it's going well. It's slated to come online this fall.
Uh-huh. Will that have battery backup, or is that not?
No, not with this. Not with that project. It won't have battery backup. Mm-hmm. This project originated out of a 2016 request for proposals, and that's an example of, sometimes we or utilities can be more prescriptive, and mm-hmm. Essentially we're looking for about 5 megawatts of solar specific, and at that point as well, that made the most economic sense to go just with solar.
Well, we are rounding out towards the end of today's show. Is there anything that you would like to add that we haven't asked you about, Sam?
I guess the one thing that I'd like to add just is that this project with CMC is a really exciting one. I mean, it's one that we're excited from the utility perspective. It ended up being a win-win for, multiple parties involved, including CMC. CMC has aggressive clean energy goals, and, what it allowed us to do is CMC was able to partner with the developer in offering up land for the site. And because of that partnership, they were able to submit a proposal that made economic sense and was one that was selected, just the same as all of the other resources. But it came in at a cost that was reasonable and that would save our members money. In return for that, CMC then will be Holy Cross will retire RECs on behalf, RECs are renewable energy credits. So the renewable content from the project will be retired and assigned to CMC to help them meet their goals. So it's kind of an exciting new model that we've been working on and are glad to partner with Ameresco and CMC on this project and see it, come to fruition and help everyone accomplish their goals at the same time.
Well, Sam Wellen, thank you so much for joining us on this show to tell us a little bit about your interesting work and these noble goals that Holy Cross Energy has set.
Yeah, thank you all. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Nice talking with you again.
And thank you so much for joining us, Ken. I really appreciate your work with the SOPRA Sun.
Glad to sit in.